What is a mandolin?
Well, mandolin is an instrument that has descended from the lute family. Most of the orchestra members play what is called a Neapolitan mandolin. It has a round bowl back on it. The mandolin evolved at the same time as the violin family. It is tuned like the violin family and has pairs of strings. So, and they come in a range of sizes. There's mandolins, which are like violins, mandolas, which are like violas, and mandocellos, which are like cellos. Same tuning, only with frets and double strings.
And so what do you both play?
Classical guitar is my primary instrument. I also play some mandolin, ukulele, banjo occasionally when it's required. It's not my specialty, but I've done some rhythm work with it. So.
What type of mandolin was really what I was looking for?
Oh, what type of mandolin? Okay.
Well, we have quite a few to choose from. So we have the American style, which has a special connection to Kalamazoo because that style with the arch top and arch back was invented right here in Kalamazoo by Orville Gibson, and that was the beginning of the Gibson Mandolin and Guitar Company. So we have that style. We have the bowl-back, traditional Neapolitan style. We have some that are kind of like a hybrid between the two. So a wide assortment plus mandola. Miles, his primary responsibility, though, is to conduct the group. So he gets to wave the stick around.
To stand in front of the group, wave the stick and yell.
Not too much.
No.
So let's talk a little bit about the history with Kalamazoo. You know, how did this all, how did this explode, this history of mandolin music?
In the late 1800s, I think Jackie's got more information on this than I do.
There was a group from Spain that came and toured the United States, and they played the Spanish version of the mandolin called a bandurria. But nobody in the United States knew the difference, so it was called a mandolin orchestra. This group toured the country, and they were a sensation, sort of like the Beatles, but in the 1800s, and everybody then wanted to take up the mandolin. And at the same time, you had Italian immigrants moving to the United States and bringing these instruments and also starting groups. So it became in vogue, high fashion, to be in a mandolin orchestra from, about 1885 to around 1920. The craze went away after World War I, and the taste in music shifted more towards jazz and wind instruments. But during its heyday, every town in America had at least one mandolin orchestra. We believe we had about four or five in Kalamazoo that we know about now. And we were lucky enough to even get a hold of some of their old sheet music. There's been a little resurgence in the last 20 years in mandolin orchestras. And now I would say there's maybe 40 to 50 in North America.
Wow. So why has there been this resurgence?
I attribute it to a man on the East Coast named Norm Levine, who started the Classical Mandolin Society of America, and he tried to save this tradition. It had dwindled down to very few orchestras in the United States, and with the help of the internet, little by little, people kept coming back to it, and now forming orchestras like we did in Kalamazoo in 2003. We joined the Classical Mandolin Society, and thought we really need to do this in Kalamazoo, especially Kalamazoo of all places, since the mandolin was so important here. And with the help of musical friends, we were able to start a group.
So what kind of music do you play in the orchestra?
It's a mix of things. We play music from what's called the Golden Era, of course, when mandolin orchestras were big. We have some pieces from that time period. There are classical pieces that are arranged, some Tchaikovsky, things like that. Selections from the Nutcracker that we play at Christmas time. We have commissioned a lot of works. One of my goals with the orchestra is to create new literature for the mandolin orchestra so they don't become just musical mausoleums playing old things. And we've commissioned at this point 9 works.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, nine works, at least 9 works for the orchestra.
Talk a little bit about some of those works. You know, maybe describe your favorite.
It comes largely through personal contacts with the composers. One of our most popular orchestral works was done by a local composer, Victor Garcia. It's called Passages Through Mexico, and we've been playing that on and off for a number of years. It's very popular with the audience. Has folkloric sounding music with some interesting introductions, and very atmospheric. It's very popular. The most recent work that we commissioned from James Kolaris in Ohio is called the Kalamazoo Suite, and that is a tremendous modern piece of music and was very popular with the audience when we premiered it back in the spring.
I just lost my dream.
And we do have a couple tracks of that piece, the first two movements. So.
And so what was the golden age of the mandolin? What was the music like around that time?
It was popular dance music at the time period and also classical pieces that were transcribed for the orchestras.
Many tangos.
Yeah, tangos, foxtrots, waltzes, foxtrots. Just,
marches,
you know, ragtimes. People were playing in the era. I think we lose track of the importance of live orchestras at the turn of the century and before there was recorded sound. Concert bands, mandolin orchestras, they were very quick to seize on to new compositions coming from Europe. So if there was a new opera or something coming out, within a short time there would be arrangements of these for concert band and mandolin orchestras and other groups so that people could hear them. It was the only way you could hear music at that time. And we've kind of lost track of the importance of these organizations because of that. It's how classical music was disseminated.
So what really inspired you both to start this group?
Insanity. What inspired us to start this group? Just a love for plucked strings. I'm a classical guitarist by trade. And there's a lot of serious music for our instruments that tends to get overlooked. And the mandolin also has a very long history in Italy of being a serious instrument with serious compositions written for it. And we thought it would be important to revive the orchestra tradition, both for the golden era of music, the popular things, and to create new music for it, so that people who play plucked stringed instruments, mandolins and guitars, would have an outlet to perform. It's difficult to be a high-level solo performer, but it's not so difficult to become a high-level orchestra performer, because you're not playing virtuosic things, you're playing things that have to be played well but aren't so complex and demanding as a virtuosic solo work. So this gives people an outlet to perform on the instruments they love and create music in an ensemble. And the saying is, I guess, the sum of the whole is greater than the parts. So.
Makes sense. Yeah. So was it difficult to find enough people to really create a mandolin orchestra?
We started out playing as just a duo, guitar and mandolin, just to attract people, so we performed that way. We picked up a second mandolin player and then a mandocello player, and as soon as we started playing, other people would come up to us and say, you know, ask about the group and say, if, you know, is it possible for them to start playing with us? And then we ran, gathered a list of names, and I ran what I call mandolin boot camp one summer, where we simply provided basically free group mandolin lessons to anyone interested if they would play in the orchestra and to build up their playing skills and, you know, technique. And it went from there.
So how is playing the mandolin different from other stringed instruments?
Playing a plucked string instrument is different from playing a bowed instrument, and you have frets and a plectrum rather than a bow. And it's possible to develop your musicianship more quickly on the instrument because you don't have to spend 10 years developing intonation with the right hand. The frets take care of that. The plectrum is a little easier to master at the very beginning to create music. It still takes a lot of training and work to do very difficult things with it, much as it does take a concert violinist many years to develop their bowing technique. But I think the results can be satisfying much more quickly than it could be on a bowed instrument. And so it's possible for someone with a few years of hard work to play at a level where they can start to play with other people and play in an ensemble like that.
And what about the sound? If I'm listening to a piece of music, how would I know that it was a mandolin?
Oh, the most distinctive sound of the mandolin is a tremolo, achieved by, I would call it, rubbing the pick over the strings very rapidly to create a sustained sound. So I think this, and it's a sort of high bell-like sound. You may think it's a guitar, but yet not quite a guitar. A higher sound and lots of tremolo. To me, that's immediately how I know it's a mandolin.
And the Neapolitan mandolin is a more brilliant sounding instrument than the American is. It's just a brighter sound. The old advertisements for Gibson, where they like to, you know, promote their product, used to call the European instruments tinny sounding. But the brightness of it, the sound carries in a space, it carries in a room. As you know from being in radio, it takes much less energy to drive a small high-frequency speaker, a tweeter, than it does to drive a subwoofer. So the brilliance of the mandolin would allow it to carry in very large spaces. We've played in very large churches without amplification, and it just fills the place. So, and the brilliance of the sound also adds to the sonic quality of the instrument within the space. You often see paintings of people playing, or angels playing, cherubs playing mandolin in cathedrals. And they were actually used in that type of environment. And when you play in a space with hard acoustics, the sound, because it's so focused and pointed, will bounce off all the hard surfaces. And from the player's standpoint, you can hear some echo, but when you're down below, if you were playing in the choir loft and you were down in the bottom of the church, all these various echoes combine together, and it creates almost like a singing effect. It's really quite interesting acoustically. And so the mandolin was actually designed to be played in these hard acoustic environments with this brilliant sound, and it just rings like a bell. It's pretty magical.
So what kinds of, what age group or demographic is there in your orchestra?
Our youngest player is a junior in high school, and also a violist in the Kalamazoo Junior Symphony. Jeremy Evans is his name, a remarkable young man. And I'm not sure who our oldest player is, somewhere close to 70, I would think. So the demographic, most of the people I would say are middle-aged, 50, 45 to 50, 60.
That sounds like a pretty big variety.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what would you say is your favorite part about this group?
There's a level of, it's a social group. There's a level of camaraderie and community within a mandolin orchestra that tends to be different from a symphony orchestra. If you play for an orchestra, you're getting a paycheck, you come in, you may know other players, but there's not always a lot of social intermingling. People come from different areas, drive in, play their gig, and leave. And here, it's made up of people from the community, and so it's become a very tight-knit group. Two of our members have gotten married after meeting in the orchestra. We have several parties every year. People will form subgroups, get together to rehearse, get together to practice orchestra music, get together just to socialize. It's a function that music used to perform 100 years ago. People have, I suppose, Facebook today. Back then we had a mandolin orchestra, so people would get together and rehearse and trade stories about their families or whatever. It's a big musical community.
What is it for you?
I would have to say the same thing. It's the combination of being able to create music, serious music, on plucked stringed instruments, and socializing with people who have become very good friends of ours. So I would have to echo what Miles has said.
Community.
A sense of community.
Okay, the next performance of the KMGO is at the Kalamazoo Valley Museum for Art Hop in December. And it's a free event, and that is the last thing we have on our books at this point until spring. Keeping our performance schedule open because we want to work on actually doing a high-quality recording. So we're going to take some time off from performing so we can work on things and learn some new music.
So, see you guys before the dry spell, right?
Right. Yeah. Okay. We just had a concert in South Haven on November 3rd. And we will be doing a performance at the Ladies' Library to help them celebrate their renovation when they reopen.
Well, if people want to learn more about mandolins, visit www.kalemando.com, KALMANDO.
May I talk a little bit more about some of our other compositions that we've commissioned?
Yeah, I would love it.
Okay. The orchestra has also commissioned in the past works from Elizabeth Start here in town, Betsy Start, as most people know her. She has written a set of pieces based on poems of Conrad Hilbery, from Professor Emeritus of English at Kalamazoo College, and also a Passacaglia, which I requested, is, you know, an old musical form with a modern musical language, which the orchestra will be performing again soon.
Can you describe that a little bit?
Passacaglia is, of course, a repeating harmonic structure in music, and there is basically essentially variations on this repeating harmonic structure. It's a very interesting piece, very modern, and I personally really like the piece. And Betsy has also composed for us Carlo Onzo, who's an Italian virtuoso mandolinist, has composed a concerto, at which the mandolin orchestra here premiered with Carlo Onzo. And he has also recorded that with his orchestra in Italy. So we are hoping to create music that travels beyond the borders of Kalamazoo. Another really popular composition that we've been working on for the last, 1 year? 2 years, John Gooden?
Right.
A piece called Pleasant Peninsula. And it was John Gooden, who's now lives in Iowa, spent his childhood here in Michigan, his summers. And so the movements are named after different areas of Michigan. That's a very attractive and popular piece for audiences.
Wow. What are some of the areas that they talk about in the piece?
Well, the first movement is called Petoskey, 1960. And that's when John Gooden, he spent a summer up near on Crooked Lake near Petoskey. Did I say that title right? Let me try that again. It's Petoskey, Crooked Lake, 1960 is the first movement. And it, to me, sounds like being out on a lake on a boat with the wind. And in the middle of the piece, the wind dies down and the music slows and then builds back up again. The second movement is Kalamazoo Parsons Street, 1927, which is the year that John Gooden's mandolin, his personal mandolin, was built. And it reflects the period of time when music was moving from sort of a parlor music to swing music, and it kind of swings back and forth between those two musical idioms. And the third movement is called Grand Rapids, 1973. And that is represents the time that he was student teaching in Grand Rapids when he was just out of college. And kind of sounds like the summer of love to me. It's this really cool, kind of offbeat, syncopated bass line under it and lots of strummy guitars. And Jackie has a great soaring mandolin solo at the end of it. So great fun piece to play.
Nice. Any other works that you'd like to talk about?
Did you want to say anything about Echoes from Parsons Street? Kalamazoo Suite.
The first movement of it is. Let me look at this.
The Children May Safely Play.
Children May Safely Play, which is the name of the sculpture in Bronson Park. Hmm. James Kolaris came to Kalamazoo with the Dayton Mandolin Orchestra. What year was that?
2008.
In 2008. And really enjoyed his time here and walked around the city and quickly sent off a piece to us that he wrote. It's a, what does it sound like, 1950 TV music, I guess you could say. It's called Kalamazoo Swag. It's a musical pun. And it's a ragtime idiom, but it swung. And ragtime's, of course, that was before the swing era. So it's a musical pun, swung, rag, swag. And it's a really fun piece, and we've been using that a lot with the orchestra as an encore piece. But we also know that James was a serious composer, so we requested he write something a little heavier for us. And we got last fall, this would be fall of 2011, a Kalamazoo Suite. And the first movement, Children May Safely Play, was inspired by the sculpture in Bronson Park. And it's an interesting piece because you can hear the sense of movement and to it is children playing, and he imagines them running around, playing, pretending to be airplanes. So there's this kind of swirling sort of motion to the piece, and then it just sort of winds down at the end where everyone's tired and collapses. The other movement that we have recorded for you is the Echoes from Parsons Street, and that has a lot of industrial. It has a lot of repeating rhythms and idioms in it, and it's supposed to sound like industrial machinery and the noise and clatter of things being built. And it's a really interesting work.
James Kolaris also arranged I've Got a Gal from Kalamazoo.
I've Got a Gal in Kalamazoo.
He has arranged I've Got a Gal in Kalamazoo for mandolin orchestra and voice, featuring our mandolinist and tenor Ron Cleveland, also on here. So
okay.
Very popular work with audiences.
Yeah. We've closed all of our shows with it for the last year or so. Mm.